Amen. Happy Father's Day. I got a couple text messages today. It's already on, brother. Is it on? Yeah, it's on. I got it. Fifth day. But thanks anyway. So much. Amen. Give you one. Amen. Well, I don't know what that was I was thinking about. You've totally obliterated my train of thought. So that worked. Anyway, happy Father's Day. Isn't it good? I tell you, if there's something that never occurred to me 30 years ago or whatever, back in the old days, I never dreamed I'd be 62 years old. That's one thing. I never thought I'd be a father. I never thought I'd be getting video text messages of precious grandchildren on their way to church saying, I love you, Papa, and happy Father's Day. What a, I mean, the goodness of God, just, it'll stay real to you if you'll let it, if you just kind of try to look above the cares of this life. Because if you can, if you can lift your eyes, your spirit, your heart above the horizontal, God's there. And I tell you what, man, ain't nothing like it. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be here this morning. Well, listen to this. A father and son went fishing one day, and while they were out on the water, the boy suddenly became curious about things in general, like kids do, and started asking his dad all sorts of questions. So he asked his dad, he said, how does a boat float? And the father looked at him and said, I don't rightly know, son. And then a little later, the boy looked at his father again and said, how do fish breathe underwater? And the father looked at him thoughtfully and said, don't rightly know, son. A little while later, the boy asked, why is the sky blue? And he got the same answer from the dad. And finally, the boy said, Dad, do you mind me asking you all these questions? And the father looked at him and said, well, of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn nothing. Well, that's true, but if you're going to learn something, you better ask the right question, the right place. And I'm glad today that we are in the right place and we can get some answers. Amen. From the one that rightly knows. Amen. All right, take your Bible, go to John chapter 4 this morning. And the Bible says, the servant of the Lord, servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. There in 2 Timothy, and as an evangelist, I'm not on the list in Ephesians 4 that is pastor and teacher. That's what he does. That's what your pastor does. Maybe he's got somebody else doing some teaching for you. But as a servant of the Lord, it says apt to teach. And one of these days, I'm apt to. I just don't know if it'll be today or not. Amen. But I got a message, and I'm going to give you a message out of John chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 1. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Amen. You'll see that over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that Samaria is on the list that God said, you shall be witnesses unto. And so Samaria is mentioned there. It's mentioned here. He said he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there's souls there, man. That's what the Lord's interested in, is souls. It says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That would have been high noon. Hot part of the day, the Lord, the man, Christ Jesus, he got wearied in his journey, and sometimes so do we. Amen. With the Spirit of God inside of us, and the finish line not far out of view, I don't think. But sometimes the journey gets wearisome. Well, take heart. Even the Lord Jesus Christ took a little break here. And it says in verse 7, he didn't go on vacation. He sat down on a well and he waited for this lady right here. It says in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, let's pray again. Father, I do come to you once again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, God, for the beautiful day. It's easy to rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you for the folks that have come out. And I pray that, Father, you'd speak the heart from your precious book. Give me the wisdom to be a conduit, maybe to allow something to minister to your precious people today. And Lord, I love you. And I thank you for being my Father. And I hope you have a happy Father's Day. And I just pray and meet with us and minister during this hour. And Lord, I really don't know if there's other classes, but if there is, I pray you bless the preparation of whatever lessons and the kids and all that stuff. And I just thank you for letting us get in on the most important things ever gone on this planet. And I pray it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so what you got here in the verses, and we're going to read down through there a little bit, but what you've got is kind of a basic soul-winning 101. And so I'm going to show you some things there. That's not really my point, and I will get to the point. I want you to notice in verse 7, again, we'll read it, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. You know, it's of note that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that initiated contact here. She came to the well. He was already there. He's alone. And from all, you know, indication, the disciples had gone on. And she didn't say a word to him. She's minding her own business. She's going through her daily life, everyday life, doing what she does. Amen. And they didn't have running water back then. So the women made a point that they would come to the well and get water. Amen. There's been, you know, people have thrown around. She came at noon because maybe of her, because of her sordid past, she would have been welcome, you know, maybe in the morning. I don't know about all that. But I know this. I know she didn't say a word. He said, he spoke, he initiated contact. And it makes sense because verse 9 tells us this. In response to his question or his request, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So, you know, it's not strange that she didn't say anything to him. The normal cultural circumstance going on is the Jews and the Samaritans didn't talk to each other, and that was initiated by the Jews, and it was obvious to her, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ was dressed and the way he looked, that he was a Jew. So she wouldn't have said anything. But she did begin, when she did respond, she didn't respond to his request. She didn't give him water, but she started giving him a little dissertation on culture and customs and the difference between the Samaritans and the Jews. She had no clue who he was. He was just another Jew to her, except he spoke to her. As she indicated correctly, rightly so. Most Jews had no dealings. Amen. Now, the thing that is significant here, and you and I can see it, and we know it, this lady is in the presence of her Creator. Amen. And she's totally clueless. And that's not as strange as it may seem. It's nothing new. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So, hey, listen, if Henry Ford would have walked into the first Ford plant in Dearborn, Michigan, 100 plus years ago, I would think there'd probably be an oil painting of his likeness in the lobby. I think that if he pulled in, maybe in his first Model T or whatever the case may be, pulled in the parking lot and people in the building saw that it was the inventor of the automobile, and they say, well, no, the automobile was invented in Europe. Don't you buy that hogwash. Trying to steal our culture, you hear me? All right, I would think that, here comes the founder. And, buddy, they'd be running around making preparations. They'd be cleaning. They'd be looking. They'd be like a wife when somebody comes to the door unexpected and they start freaking out trying to clean everything up. I mean, I'm not the only one that experiences that. Okay, and amen. But here you've got the world made by Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 4:11 says so. And the world knew him not, didn't pay him any attention. So this scenario that we're talking about here, this lady in the presence of her creator, she doesn't know it. Well, the Lord's already used to that. It gets even worse. In verse 11, there in John chapter 1, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Amen. And they the prophecies and all that. I mean, they knew their Messiah was supposed to come, and when he showed up, they missed it. I'm going to give you a Dave Spurgeon theological take. You know, that crowd that says that everybody's saved the same way, and they were, in the Old Testament, they were saved by grace, looking forward to the cross. Okay, I have a question. How come nobody was at the tomb that morning, if they were looking forward to the cross? If they're looking forward to the cross, then they'd have been looking forward to the resurrection. You'd have think there'd been a multitude. The very disciples that he told on four different occasions, I'm going to be crucified, and on third day I'm going to rise again. And even they didn't believe him. So those Old Testament Jews were hogwashed. That doesn't even make sense. Now that's Dave Spurgeon theology. And if you got some Greek text that shoots a hole in that, keep it to yourself. Amen. I'm having fun. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, though, regardless of what verse 10 said, regardless of what verse 11 said, excuse me, I'm glad verse 12 is in there. John chapter 1 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So they might have missed it, but boy, I'm glad I didn't. Amen. Have you received him this morning? All right. Guys, it takes a while to get started here for you guys. I get it. I'll be patient. Amen. Oh, that's right. It was like that at night, too. Okay. It's okay. And, now back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And, so the Lord initiated contact, and she didn't respond. She, came back with a cultural dissertation. Okay. And, in verse 10, Jesus answered what? Her question. How is it that thou being a Jew? Jesus answered and telling her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. She ignored his question and he ignored hers too. You know what he did? He stayed right. He's got one thing on her mind and it's her soul, and she wants to take this rabbit trail and talk about the difference between the Samaritans and the Jews, and you know, he returned the favor. He ignored her too, and he just stayed on track. He cut to the heart of the matter. I mean, he's talking about the gift of God. Somewhere along the way, it ought to pique her curiosity to the point where she's going to say, what are you talking about? And eventually, it happened. But before it does, the conversation goes from cultural to practical. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence hast thou that living water? Okay, so now we're talking practical. Amen, you don't even have anything to draw with. And he didn't even get a chance to answer, because then she just keeps on talking. In verse number 12, the whole thing turns from cultural to practical to historical. Look what it says. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? That's where he could have said, as a matter of fact, you know, but he didn't. It says, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. So she's, now it's turned historical. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Boy, I mean, there is a model, an example, a template, however you want to call it, for just learning to stay on track and stay on course. If you've got a concern for somebody's soul, they're going to come at you maybe with a lot of, excuse me, a lot of different distractions and deceptions. But boy, you got to stay on track. You got to wait it out, and you got to not just get run up every flagpole. People do the same thing today. I try to talk to somebody about their soul, and here's what I say. Somebody asked me, "Well, what about the Eskimos?" I'm thinking, where did that come from? Well, if you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what about people that never heard? Hey, let me tell you something. There's an explanation for that. But I'm telling you what I was talking about to the person wasn't about Eskimos. It was about their soul. And that's what we ought to be concerned with. And that's what we ought to prayerfully be able to go after. Amen. And amen. We got to stay on course. And the Lord stays on course. Verse 15. The woman said, let me see. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Amen. Now she's saying the right thing. She's still totally clueless. She has no clue what he's talking about. But at least she's asking for the water. And I want you to notice in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband." Now he's cutting to the chase right there. And what is he doing? Is he rebuking her? No, he's in the process now of revealing who he is. "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had." Now, you know, I'm from Ohio, and had, that's past tense. Yeah, right? Okay, just a little side note there. "For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Yeah, very good. Actually, that's true. Let me tell you something. This woman's got some needs, and she thinks her need has to do with getting water. Amen. And she's got a much greater need than that, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned with. We live in a world where people are going to and fro frantically, and they've got different ideas and different needs and different thoughts, and they've got a much bigger need, amen, than getting their car fixed or getting their buying groceries. They got a need that is an eternal need, and they don't know it. We know it. The Lord left us here to try to, some way, shape, or form, try to reach them appropriately, accordingly, to their need. Whether it's sowing or watering, amen. They aren't giving much thought about their souls, but we're supposed to be. And this world doesn't need another lecture, doesn't need another program, doesn't need another social worker, doesn't need another religion. It needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, she said, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now we've gone from cultural to practical, to historical, to spiritual. Now she's talking about spiritual things. "Thou art a prophet." Verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me." The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "Woman, believe me." Amen. You know what he says to us in this Bible? "Believe me." Isn't that what it says over in John 14? That's good advice right there. That'll preach, but not this hour. "The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. when He has come, He will tell us all things. Amen. So now, I mean, we're having a spiritual discussion here. She said something, and then the Lord responds, amen, and then she responds, and then He reveals Himself. And He says in verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Boy, He was patient, and He just worked through and waited through all her, everything she was throwing at Him and ignoring His questions, and He's staying right on track. And He's working down to this point where, well, like I said, He reveals Himself to her. Now, think about this for a second. I got looking at this and consider this well as a type of going to church. She was there. There she is. She's there. And I'll tell you what, she's a regular. She might have went every single day. I don't know how often she needed her water pot filled, but she probably went there quite often. So, if you look at this well, Well of Water Baptist Church, there she is, and she's a regular, and she knew some things. She knew some things. Maybe she even went to Sunday school once in a while. She knew some things about worship. She knew some things about other religions. She knew the difference between her religion and the Jews. She knew some things. Amen. And she knew her Messiah would come one day. Amen. She even knew His name. Amen. And she came all prepared to get what she thought she needed. She thought she needed water. She came prepared. She brought her water pot. She's there. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, man. There's a lot of people in churches all over America today, and they know some things about Him, and they've heard some things, but and they come to church thinking that they're coming to get what they need, and they are just as clueless as this woman. They don't have a clue who He is. And they need to know who He is. Amen. There's a plastics factory in Mid-Ohio, and the guy's a Christian, and they ship containers all over the world, and they put gospel tracts in every order. Amen. And because I worked at a place where we got orders from them, and boy, there's a straight testimony track in there about how he got saved. And outside of this building are these words. Big sign lit up. You can't miss it in the daytime. You really can't miss it at night. And it says, Christ is the answer. And I used to drive by that, various stages of sobriety, you know, or hauling contraband in the old days up and down I-75 between Toledo and Dayton, Ohio. And you can't go by there without seeing it. And it says, Christ is the answer. And I would mockingly say to myself, yeah, what's the question? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something. He's the answer. He's the way. He's the truth in the life. And He's the question is, how are you going to get to heaven? And He's the answer, because ain't nobody going any other way. And you can be in church every day, and you can carry a little Bible, and you can memorize stuff, and if you're not saved, you ain't going. Now, I know where I am, and I know you know that. But you also know that there's a multitude of good, honest, decent, moral people. Listen, the only sinners aren't downtown, and the only sinners aren't in the jail, and the only sinners aren't in the rescue mission. They're nice, regular folks that well-meaning. Some of them are better citizens than some of us. But that ain't what gets a person in, and we know what gets a person in, and they need us to tell them. They need us to do more than tell them. They need us to live like we believe it. Amen. All right, so we have this. This is Sunday school, so we're going to teaching right now, right? Does it resemble teaching? Every once in a while. Amen. All right, so you got that. You got that. Jesus revealed Himself in verse 26. Verse 27. And upon this, okay, it's the Lord talking to this lady, and I'm being generous. I'm calling her a lady. Amen. She's not a man. And she's not a Caitlyn Jenner. Okay, she's a lady. I can't believe that came up. I can't. Oh, help me, Lord. We made a pact the other night. No Jenner at dinner. We're not going to talk about that. Amen. Don't worry. Rachel's Dolenzall's in the next message. Amen. No, not really. Okay, verse 27. And upon this came his disciples. This Jesus, Jew, talking to this woman of Samaria. So, it says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked, that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? Well, no man said it. Then how did it get in the Bible? Because the Lord Jesus Christ knows what's going on without it being said. I tell you what, everybody in here do well to remember what it says in Psalm 19, verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And boy, we make some progress, and it takes a while, but we get a bridle on that tongue, and then it's not over. We need to start working on our heart. These guys are, they didn't say it out loud, but they were thinking it. And he heard that. It's scary to me that he hears what we're thinking sometimes. Now, these disciples, they came upon this from the city. Verse 8 tells you where they were. I skipped it on purpose. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. That's why the Lord is there alone with her at the well, talking to her about everlasting life and the gift of God. So they have returned. They've gone into the city. That's not wicked. Not in and of itself or sinful. A lot of things in the city are. But they went there to buy supplies. To get stuff. To get things. And it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, it says, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Amen. It's just part of the human experience. We need stuff. But it says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the Lord just wants us to learn to trust him. Amen. Now, jump down to verse 31. We're still dealing with these disciples. In the meanwhile, the woman left. We're going to get back to her. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now, they left. They left him there. They went into town to buy meat, supplies, food. They came back, and they prepared it. I mean, they didn't stop at Wendy's. They've had to prepare it, so they're dealing with it. They're buying it, they're dealing with it. And now they're presenting it to the Lord. And listen, these sold out disciples who left their families and their jobs and their religion behind, many of them four of them at least in Matthew chapter 4, when the Lord said, follow me, they did straightway. I give them a lot of credit for that, but I want you to notice, or at least this is what I noticed, that here they are, the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned with this girl's soul, and they are captivated with dealing with food. Now, there's a crew, and the farther west you get, the more prevalent it is. It's not only out there. And they want to trace our Baptist heritage back to John, who was an Old Testament Jew. I think we can trace our Baptist heritage back to John chapter 4. Amen. Because these guys, all they're thinking about, it's food. That's a Baptist, her name, mate. This is the first Baptist church of Samaria, I think, and that's what I'll call it. I'm going to make a note because that's the first time that many people laughed at one time in the last 5 days. And okay, I want to know for next time. Amen. Okay, so, all right. Verse 34. Jesus, this is his, I think it's his response. Master, eat. He says, verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore his disciples said one to another, hath any man brought him to eat? Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Man, I'm going to tell you what. The Lord knows that. Well, he knows what's about to happen, and we're going to see that. And that's what food's on the back burner right now. He's far more interested in this lady's soul and the others that are going to get saved. You'll see that. And these solid, sold-out disciples, they totally missed it. I mean, he explains it in terms like this. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. All right. The lady comes to get water. Jesus reveals himself to her. She heads back to town. We'll look at that. We'll see that in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city. So, they've come. She's there with the Lord. She leaves. She goes back to the city. And we're going to pick it up right there in verse 28. It says, then the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Now look what happened. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now you got a bunch of men, because of the testimony of this new convert, this woman, this sinner, this lady that's a mess, she goes back in and she tells them, the men, come see a man. And, well, it says a bunch of them went out to where he was, him, where he was, where Jesus was. Amen. She's responsible for some of these folks coming to Christ. Listen, this woman goes into the city. She goes back. She's not shopping. Amen. She is so excited about meeting her Savior, her Messiah. She is so excited about telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. She forgot what she went for. She didn't even bring any water. She didn't even bring her water pot. Amen. Every preconceived notion she had went out the window. She is just so excited about meeting the Lord. And her zeal had a major effect on those that she came across. Verse 30, you saw that. Then they went out and came unto him. And you know what was on Jesus' mind when they got there, too? Their souls. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and the result of that was many more. Verse 41, many more believed on him because of his own word. She testified, her zeal, her excitement got him to where Jesus was. 2 more days he expounded on the important matters, the eternal matters. Many more believed. Many more believed. How many souls came to the Lord because of this? We don't know. Verse 42, and it says in verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. Oh, yeah. You know, listen to the tone of that. For we have heard of him ourselves. They wouldn't have even known he was there except for her. And know that this is indeed the Christ, which the Christ, the Savior of the world. Boy, they weren't going to give her any credit whatsoever, were they? But the Holy Spirit sure did. Because she's the one that's responsible for this revival in Samaria. Now, that's the introduction. Now I have a message for you. Amen? I want you to notice one more thing, and this is really what got my attention. Verse 7, go back to verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. She's coming from the town. She's coming from the city. She's going through her normal routine. She's coming out there with her water pot. Comes out there to draw water. Sorry about that. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So here you got Jesus there at the well. He knows what's going to happen. He's looking for the opportunity. You got 12 disciples, people that had seen the Lord Jesus Christ do some things that nobody had ever done. They know who he claims to be. Some of them may be fully convinced that he is who he claims to be. 12 guys, the most religious, if I can use that word and say, of the right religion, followers of Jesus, on their way to town. I don't guess there was a lot of ways between that well and that town, that road, that path, that whatever. One woman, here she comes, and here they come. 12 to 1, and not one of them said a word to her. Not one of them said anything about, "Oh, there's somebody down there you need to talk to." Not one word about, "Hey, have you ever thought about where you're going to..." You follow me? Listen, you know what I'd title this? What are you going to town for? Amen. Because this, they... Okay, let me see what my notes say. That'll be better. Amen. They didn't say anything to her. Why? Because she was a Samaritan. I mean, when she walked by these 12 Jews, they probably walked on opposite sides. Amen. And they probably, you know, turned their nose up at her. And she wasn't surprised one bit. She didn't expect them to say anything. You know why? Because in the eyes of that Jew, she was a heathen. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't worry. There's a point to this somewhere. We're still digging, but it's in there somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's why they didn't say anything to her. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Doesn't even stop there. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners." What a list. "Shall inherit the kingdom of God." Here's the deal, folks. If you're not careful, you can end up like those disciples. You'll have just enough religion in you to judge everybody else, and not enough compassion in you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. "And such were some of you." Amen. All that list, oh man, those, all that list. And here's what we forget. We forget that's who we were. And if you weren't on that list, you could have been without the immeasurable grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher said it last night. It took the same blood to save a 5-year-old kid as it did a guy like me. Amen. And we need to remember the Lord Jesus Christ died for that crowd. And He left us here to reach that crowd. And I just can't get away from the fact that there's no way they didn't pass. And look at something else. Those disciples went to town. Not one person came from that town to where Jesus was. But one woman, terrible past, full of sin, she goes to town so excited about our Savior that not only did she get it, the Bible says many, 2 times, many believed on Him. So the title is, what are you going to town for? The Lord knows we have things we need to do. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're not careful, you can get so caught up and start thinking that, well, I go to church, or I punch the ticket at street preaching day, or it's soul winning day. I'm doing all those things. I'm going to tell you what, we need to nurture within our spirit a sincere desire to look for and take advantages of opportunities that the Lord sends our way. They may be just as obscure as this. Not just go down and do the little checklist thing. Doing our duty. We need to really develop a compassion for souls. That's what I see in the passage. Amen. Amen. It says, Luke 14:23 says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go ye into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Folks, we see every day, just like this woman, minding their own business. Amen. They're in dire need. And they're like her. They don't even realize it. They desperately need for us as Christians to prayerfully and compassionately initiate contact. Let me throw this in here. I heard it. I didn't invent it. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. That's deeper than you think. Amen? We memorize our little programs and spew them out. I'm going to tell you what, this lost and dying world needs to know somebody really believes that book. Somebody really cares about their soul if we're ever going to get them to the one that gave his life for their souls. You hear me? All right. And let me just say this because I don't know everybody in here. You may be like her in here this morning. You've got some things together. You know some things about him, but you never met him personally. Boy, I tell you what. It says in Revelation 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. The water of life that the Lord spoke about in John chapter 4 is still flowing freely. Amen. The gift of eternal life, it can't be earned, but it can still be received. Amen. But it only comes through Jesus Christ. Going to church won't do it. Amen. Getting baptized don't do it.
I don't know what you do.
Amen. What's that? I'm standing on... Wow, that's good wood there. Amen. Amen. They say don't tell. They say, you can get baptized till the tadpoles know your name. It ain't going to matter, man. The tadpoles ain't getting you into heaven. Baptism doesn't do it. Being a good person doesn't do it. Jesus Christ, he'd do it. He'd do it. So if you're not saved in here, leave your water pot at an old-fashioned altar and let one of us open a Bible and show you how you can get that gift of eternal life today. Father, I love you. And I thank you, God, for I hope something made some sense today. And I sure do thank you for the privilege. And I pray for everybody in here. Pray that, God, we just stay in the fight and fight it your way. And if somebody in here is not sure that they'd go to heaven when this life ends, not if, I pray that today you'd make it easy for them to see that that's what needs to be addressed. Thank you again, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, preacher.
We'll take a little early break.